If the wife says no on that, I might purposely look for companies that are like small companies to buy from or stuff that's made here.
In Columbus?
No, in the United
Oh.
States, anywhere.
How about we start the show?
Go for it.
That would
Because
work.
that's made here, Joel. The show is made
Well,
right
it's made
here.
here, there, and on everywhere, on the
There we
interwebs.
go. All right, give it a count around.
Two and a three and a one.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Just swinging in the breeze.
Hey guys, it's Flying Rich here, and I just like to get a little on my tongue.
That's what he said.
Showtime!
Were you making it for young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's the fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a Linux.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 852 of the Linux Link Tech Show for Wednesday, April 8th, 2020. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going?
We have Joel.
No COVID.
And we have Joe.
Still not dead.
And Joel just had a birthday. Hopefully it was as good as it could be.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we went and I picked up Texas Roadhouse. Instead of eating there, we brought it back to the house and I ate it here. And we picked up a pineapple upside down cake at Kroger because why not? Because it's better than a cake with buttercream on it, in my opinion. I mean, it's not that I don't like birthday cakes. Like, I'd rather eat other cakes. You know what I mean? Anywho.
Was it square or round?
It was round.
Okay. I like pineapple cake. Upside down cake.
Pineapple
like
upside down cake is freaking delicious, man. I don't care. I've not had a bad one yet. And I did, you know, instead of my wife buying me something, which she never does, I found a camera bag on Amazon for my new Sony camera. It's smaller than my other camera bag, so that works.
Wait, for which camera? For which of your 30 cameras?
No, I don't have 30. I mean, I have two real digital cameras. And then I got my my little DJI Osmo and my SLR, but this is for my new one, my Sony A6400, which is very similar to an SLR. It does not have a mirror. It's what they call a mirrorless camera, but it has all the same functions, full manual modes. I can buy new lenses and stuff, and the lenses, everything is smaller on it. So, like, when we finally can take trips outside of our state, I'll have something smaller. So
slip it right in your pocket, right? Or
hook
it onto your belt.
You probably could, but technically the straps that's on the back are designed to hold the tripod, which I don't know. I don't have a tripod that would actually fit there. Doesn't mean I'm going to go buy one either, but I generally, you know, unless I'm shooting video, I don't really need a tripod. The kind of the only bad thing about the A6400 is the body doesn't have any image stabilization, but my lens does, so that's good enough. And it's actually pretty good, too. But I've shot some mostly pictures with it, some video. And I need to record. I got a video idea I want to record where A lot of people out there who are practicing the social distancing are saying, well, why doesn't everybody just use grocery curbside pickup to get their groceries? Well, did a kind of little exercise this afternoon. All right. The Kroger's has something called ClickList where I can basically pull up and then they just stick it in your car. I've used it before. It works pretty well. But the next date I could actually get a curbside pickup with them is April 14th. It's what, April 8th? Yeah, that's not going to work for my family. Then the next one I tried was Shipt, which looks at, I think it's mostly Meijer in this area that use Shipt. Although I think Target also uses it too. No pickup or no deliveries for Shipt left for today. Instacart was actually the best option. I could get groceries delivered within 5 hours. And I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I tried Prime Now, and Prime Now, nothing for today. In fact, the Shipt and Prime Now didn't even give you the option to look out a couple days. It basically just said, I'm sorry, we ain't got nothing. Ain't got no time for you. So if people wondering why people aren't taking advantage of curbside pickup, that's why.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Sam's Club. I tried to do the same thing with Sam's Club, couldn't get a date. It was actually easier for me to go over. I went over Friday last week, and dude, I found a mother load of toilet paper. It got me toilet paper. I'm good for a month.
No, my old roommate used to use, was it Kroger's delivery?
Yes.
And they always got it wrong. Either that or they were sending like meats that were almost spoiled. Like they were just trying to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Now, when they first started ClickList, which really wasn't all that long ago, maybe a year or so ago, when you'd order something, they would actually like throw in like some chocolates or stuff in there, in the bag, other than what you ordered. But you can, at least on ClickList, you can say, hey, if it's not in stock, forget it. I don't want anything else. Which is actually something you really should do if it ever returns to normal, because 9 times out of 10, like for example, if you pick, for example, vanilla coffee creamer, you like vanilla flavor coffee creamer, and I do, right? But you only like specific ones. Like I only like there's Coffee Mate, I think natural something. Basically, any of the coffee creamer, vanilla flavor coffee creamer I like, is made from milk. Okay, there's a lot of that, like International Lights and stuff like that, that's made from like freaking soy and corn syrup and is nasty as hell. I will not drink that. So if you just put that in there and they ain't got it, they'll just grab International Delight or something like that that leaves the film in your mouth and stuff, and I hate that. So on those kinds of things, I either go get it myself or... If I choose to do something like that, I say, if you ain't got it, don't give me anything. I'll figure it out. But lately, I actually been drinking Stoke Fuel Creamer, which is actually a keto creamer. So it's a little more keto friendly than some of the flavor creamers are, and it's made from milk too, I do believe. I'd have to look in the bottle though to make sure. I'm pretty sure it is if it's keto. Not that I care about keto. I could never do full keto. I like bread.
You enjoy carbs way too much.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
We can tell from when you said you had Taco Bell today.
Actually, I didn't have that many carbs with Taco Bell. Well, yeah. Okay. I did get some cinnamon bun things. Now,
you can get keto meals from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But
aren't they called like the Power Bowl or something?
Specialty order,
yeah. Power Bowl. The Power Bowl is pretty keto friendly.
But then you got to cut back on the beans and rice too.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not. I can never do full keto. I just can't. I like carbs. Just reduced carbs, I can do. That's easier. But then earlier, over the weekend, like I said, we had Texas Roadhouse. But then the next day we had steak too, because I got some Angus steak over at Sam's Club, and we did that. And that came out really good. And I have been cooking more at home. Although the last couple days, it's just I just haven't wanted to. And I got a post-mortem call tomorrow that's at 7 a.m., which really, really sucks.
PIR, post-incident review.
Yeah, yeah. Or we call them blameless post-mortems.
Yeah, because they always turn out blameless.
Right.
Everybody pointing the finger at everybody else.
Your post-mortems aren't blameless, really?
Sometimes.
Mine are.
Ours are almost always
mine are, and I think this one will be too. Yeah, you know, this definitely will be too. It's basically, this is the whole reason why it happened was, like, I found out, like, I was on call last week, and they were giving me these tasks to do this week to do these system clones for a client, all not, you know, cloning production to none, and I didn't find out till on the handoff call with India at 8 o'clock Sunday night that I was supposed to do the backup and restore at 10 o'clock, and I'm like, that ain't happening. I'll do it in the morning. You know, so I didn't get in trouble for that. It's just that it just takes a long time, and I couldn't get the clone completed in the time they wanted. So. But it's one of those things where the person who scheduled it didn't really give us enough lead time. Not to mention the fact he had the guy who was on call taking care of incidents last week. He handed the assignments to me Thursday or Friday, which means I had zero time to review anything. So it's like, yeah, thanks.
No.
That's going to change.
For us, it depends on who's on the call, whether it remains blameless or not. And then sometimes It just gets to the point where where people are saying, oh, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. And then you got to kind of steer it back to, okay, who cares whose fault it is? Let's just find a long-term solution.
Right, yeah. Well, and this is a subject that we've talked about many times before, and it's with this one particular person. I'm not going to say his name or even what he does, but it's just one particular person who always does this. And my way of dealing with him is going to be from now on, if he sends me a Slack message, I ignore it. And if he really wants something done, open up a freaking case and give me a task to do it. And then I'll communicate with you that way. Because I'm not going to help you fish so that you can write something that we should be writing. It's just annoying. But anyway, so that's what my day like is going to be like tomorrow. And I'm just glad that I'm not on call this week. And I'm glad I only have 2 more days this week. The only thing that makes me sad is that Easter is Sunday and I can't go in church.
Well, at least you got them set up online, right?
I think so. I don't know if they're going to do the same 10:30. I know that we're planning on they've been okay with us doing like a parking lot of things. You know, it's where we just stay in our cars, like a drive-in service kind of. I think that's what we're trying to do for Easter Sunday, like first thing in the morning or something like that. And it's all weather permitting on that one, because they want to set up a sound system and stuff. And well, they said sunrise. I might have to remind them that, hey, the church has neighbors. So if we don't put a sound system up outside, I don't know if they'd be cool with that or not. And we did a Palm Sunday thing where we all parked in our cars and prayed there too, which was kind of nice. Since I'm the photographer, I actually got out of my car and walked around, took pictures and stuff. But I maintained my social distance. But now in Ohio, I actually I'll share what I share, and then I think I want to hear what Dan thinks of what Virginia has done, because I did hear about Virginia. In Ohio, the one change was this week they started limiting the amount of people going into the stores, and a lot of the stores finally got around to putting up shields made out of plexi that they wipe down, and they'll wipe the registers down like after every transaction. And they now limit how many people go into the store. Like in some of the stores that have like multiple entrances, they've now specified a certain entrance that you're supposed to use, and they have a Walmart or whoever employee standing there counting how many people go in. So and I don't really think anything else is really different at that point. So, but at least in Ohio, the rate's kind of almost flattened out already. It's almost there now. So, I think unless something changes, I think that we probably will start to reopen some things, in May, like the governor had planned on. At least that's what I think is going to happen.
Reopen and roll it right back in.
Not 100%. I think certain things will be like, I think they might like say churches, you know, they might raise a number so that some churches can start doing again.
We could do it all over again, right? Raise those infections, come right on in again.
Yeah, well, you know, it could happen.
Come on,
you know.
Man, don't you know it's 5G is what's getting people sick?
It's all Bill Gates' fault. That's another one I heard too, which was fucking stupid. But
people are out of their minds, man.
Well, you see, Bill Gates said something about depopulating the world, and I'm like, I've never found the full context. I've only seen anti-vaxxer bullshit from that. But and that the vaccine, I think that the FDA and everything, you know, everyone is going to start pulling their stops out and try and get anything that they can produce to trial as soon as they can, because the world can't live like this forever. Nope. It's not going to happen. You know? Not forever. You know, because there's some people say, well, we need to maintain this forever. I'm like, no. No, we'll die before that happens. The suicide rate is already going up, alright? But, you know, and I heard that Northam shut down Virginia until July, I heard, Dan.
I thought it was June. Through June, right, yeah.
I saw July 10th.
Okay, July 10th.
I think, anyway.
I haven't been off the fort in over 2 weeks, so... Yay. They took away the basketball nets. They roped off all the playgrounds and blocked off the beaches and fishing piers. And there's nobody here.
Are they going around ticketing people who just happen to be
I don't know. I haven't seen it personally. Since they implemented all that from last week and the week before, like I said, it's been kind of a around here has been dead. I mean, there's people,
right?
They'll come in. It's nothing like it was 2 weeks ago. Nothing like it was the previous weekend.
If you actually go out and drive, you can actually probably get from point A to point B a whole lot easier now.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, again, I haven't been off the fort, but
right.
Like when I went for a walk with my daughter on Sunday. There were people walking. There was nobody on the beach. I don't know. I didn't go up on the beach. Like, I haven't seen anybody on the beach when I do my runs in the morning. But again, there's like six people I pass when I do that, you know, that I see. But there were people walking around. Everybody was like completely staying away from everybody else, like wide berths. There wasn't a lot of people. So there's that. Now, I spoke to my one neighbor who said he went to
the store on Saturday, I think it was, and he said that was the biggest mistake of his life that he did right there. He said he was standing in line there, and there were a lot of people who just weren't getting it, right? Still weren't getting it.
Right.
It was like this old, this like 70-year-old woman who was standing in line coughing like up a storm, and he's like, what am I doing here? Right, he usually, he's like, I'm never doing that again. My one friend who lives in Virginia Beach said that he went to Walmart, and he said that there were whole families walking in without masks or anything, just, you know, carrying babies and kids, and he was like, this is crazy. Like, so I'm like, I don't need it. I don't. Now, my wife did go to the store Tuesday morning. And in order for her to go to the store, you got to, like, it's like armoring up. It's like, get the face mask on, got the glasses, got the hat, got the gloves, you know, go into the store, sanitizing all the time. She came back. She said that they had the, you know, the people, the employees there were wearing face shields. They had the plexiglass around the checkout area, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There was hardly anybody in the store. People were, those there were respecting distances. I really wish that they would start doing the limiting number of people in, that go into the store from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. It's senior shopping only, so you can't get in there before 8 a.m. She got her stuff. I said to her when she got home, like afterwards, man, it was like a freaking hour of just sanitizing stuff. And like the only, what I did is I sanitized everything, put it in boxes and put it in the basement, and we're not touching it for a, till the weekend, like give it like 3 or 4 days, except for
meat and stuff like that.
The meat
and
the produce. Like I washed all the produce that I got with the soapy water, you know, all the meat and stuff, wiping it all down. I'm like, I can't afford the cleaning supplies to go to the grocery store anymore. It's crazy though. What you have to do.
Well, I lucked out when I went to Sam's. I actually, since I was on call last week, I went Friday before work, right at 9, and like I mentioned in the pre-show, I got toilet paper, which was awesome. So I'm good on that for a month. But not only did they have that, but they had paper towels, and they actually had disinfecting wipes, which is, and the only thing I haven't seen yet, I haven't seen hand sanitizer, haven't seen isopropyl alcohol, haven't seen glycerin, and
those people are making their own. That's kind of
And I haven't seen I actually started looking, at least locally anyway, first. I'm going to try online looking for some hair clippers, because I can cut my own hair. If as, as long as I have clippers with a guard, I can cut it and it can look acceptable. So, not like I like it, but acceptable.
I'll just shave my head again.
Which is also an alternative.
What bothers me, like what worries me, isn't like now. It's like I look around and like, We didn't need to go to the store, but I'm like, what are we going to do in, like, towards the end of May? Like, what's it going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now there's still some growing pains here. But in a month or 2 months, we're going to have better systems set up for delivery. I mean, it's going to happen.
I think so. Yeah, I mean,
I hope so.
I mean, I have now there I've had trucker friends like Tracy. He sat for a little bit last week, but other than that little bit he sat last week, he actually has been pretty busy. And the same thing goes with trucker Tom Wiles from the Trucker Tom podcast. He's been pretty busy as well. So, I mean, trucks are still rolling. I mean, that's the one thing I absolutely still see on the road is a lot of trucks. But, like, I went over to from where I live here in the south side of Columbus over to Grove City to check Walmart to see if they had hair clippers. They didn't have any there. And Walmart was fairly busy, but Walmart is a super Walmart there, and it's got full groceries and stuff like that. But Target was a freaking ghost town. I mean, I've never been in there and seen so few people. I mean, almost every layer, not just people shopping, but employees. And they even have groceries too. So they're, you know, for the most part, I would say, you know, some days we still have some heavy traffic, but nothing near what we used to have. And there are a lot of people that are honoring it. Now, I don't typically wear a mask, but I always keep I have a thing of disinfecting wipes in the car. So when I get in the car, the first thing I do is wipe my hands down with it, and wipe my key down, and my steering wheel down, and my seatbelt, and things like that. You know, certain things I will my coffee machine went out on me earlier this week, so when I went and got a replacement, I wiped the outside of that down before I opened it up. You know,
the Keurig.
Yeah, I got a new Keurig.
Damn, it died on you, huh?
Yeah. Well, that one was one I had picked up. It was used. And that one lasted, you know, almost 3 years, I think. The other one, but I don't know how old it was when I got it either. It was a commercial. One of the commercial ones. I got it on an auction a few years ago. So, not a surprise, they've come down a lot. Like the real Zsa Zsa one, which is kind of what I got, was what the cheap one used to be, cost wise. So I mean, but I wouldn't even bothered with that if my son wasn't a coffee drinker as well. You know, if it was just me drinking coffee, I would have instead of buying that, I probably would have bought a tea kettle. Like an electric tea kettle, and then just go to making it with my AeroPress or my French press. So, but because my son's here, and I don't know that he'd be capable of making a French press, but yeah.
You've been down here, and you've been on the HRBT in the traffic that's on that, right?
Yeah.
What is weird is there's no more traffic on that. I'm like, you look out at that, at the HRBT at rush hour, where it used to be like one direction was like a 3-4 mile backup and the other direction was sometimes a 6 to 10 mile backup. There's no traffic. It looks like 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning in November, when there's no tourists, there's nobody going anywhere. It's just you see one or two cars going over. It's crazy. There's no airplanes in the sky here either.
And it's not like they're not flying either. But
I mean, there's some, but compared to what it used to be, it is.
Yeah,
there is nothing. It's quiet, and there's not very many cargo ships going through.
Probably unnerving, I would think, actually.
it's different.
Yeah, because now one thing I notice here is other than like stores that have food and stuff like that, and hardware stores, those are pretty much the only thing that's open in Ohio right now. Is that. BMV's closed. I mailed my check in because my birthday was this past weekend to get my tags done. I still don't have that. I mailed that in like 2-3 weeks ago. I still don't have my sticker. So I'm pretty sure they won't care, at least through the end of April.
My next door neighbor's dad lives in Northern Virginia, and he came down to stay with him,
right?
And he said that he could not believe 95, like it was
ghost town.
It wasn't a ghost town. He was saying it was just like, it was like Mad Max on that road. People were just going 100 miles an hour flying down the road.
Well, yeah, no, some states cops are not even ticketing anymore.
Nobody's getting ticketed or anything. And I'm like, you know what, they're not going to give a damn about my expired inspection, especially given the fact, like,
Paige called up. She has like my daughter. We bought Avery and Helena just a car to get back and forth to school. It was like a 1990 something seven Subaru or whatever it was. It was like just a couple $1,000s. And then she like needed a vehicle up there, and we said, okay, we'll let you use it. And so she took it up there, and then there was problems with it, and she took it to the mechanic, and they're like, in order to fix all this shit, you know, they're like, well, it's a crack in the radiator, so the radiator would need to be replaced. And then they're like, but if you want to get it inspected, there's all these other things. And I'm like, you know what? Get the radiator fixed. I don't give a damn about the inspection, right? Nobody's going to be pulling you over for expired inspection during this pandemic. That's outrageous.
I would think, but yeah.
Yes, the cops are practicing social distancing. You have to put your own handcuffs on now.
If you were a police officer, would you be pulling anybody over for expired inspection?
I got pulled over on the way back from Great Wolf Lodge, you know, before all this stuff happened. So that's when I got my ticket.
Well, you know,
That's before they shut the state down, though. Yeah. Stop yawning, man.
Dude, I don't know, man. They take a picture of your tags and they email you the ticket.
There you go. This is fine. I don't, you know, big deal. Whatever. There's more problems going on right now than people with expired inspection.
If you got a warrant, you have to arrest yourself.
Yeah, they're actually letting a lot of nonviolent offenders out of jails around here. So, and I think that does happen in a lot of places. And
it's kind of hard to do social distancing in jail.
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine that's almost even possible if you have those things packed to the gills.
Well, I mean, the worst part, what they need is they need both the antibody tests and the little 5-minute test, or 5 to 15 minute one I think they're working on now. And I think for places like that, it wouldn't be too bad just test all the, because really all you're talking about is either incoming prisoners or the guards and stuff that are working there, and the kitchen staff, you know, that you would have to check. But you know, as long as it doesn't pass to the prison populace, then you know, as long as they test people going in, that's gonna be all right. But you know, whatever. I don't know. I think Ohio is doing some of that too. But
now one of the pieces of good news that I heard in the past week is that one of my sister-in-laws works for a rather large agricultural company, and she said that they had gotten all the seeds planted and everything that they needed to get done for this spring already taken care of. So at least that was some good news.
Now, our CEO, she had their town hall again today, and at the end of the month, I think is when they're going to stop matching the 401ks, temporarily, of course, and no, basically a hiring freeze. And the current goal, you know, unless you have a good reason to hire somebody, but the current goal is to keep everyone that they have employed, and that she and leadership's going to take pay cuts before they'll start cutting ours. So, and fortunately for us, there's probably going to be an uptick, at least within my division, since we're all cloud based, and it would reduce the amount of staff that colleges need to run things if they have us run it. So I can see the end of the year being pretty busy, depending on how long this lasts, you know. But they've basically said no travel, which, duh, you know. But optimistically, our company's not going to be hit too hard. I know yours has been, Dan, but right now, I think we're going to be all right. You know, The only weird one is my wife's deal with her taking care of Luke, and she's supposed to, before she starts every shift, she's supposed to take her temperature and fill out this web page whenever she takes a shift. But she's like, yeah, but I live with my son. I'm never away from him. It doesn't matter.
Right. Who's it? Who are you talking about?
My wife.
Oh, yeah. Because
she actually gets paid because she's technically my son's aide, you know, for certain things. You know, trying to teach him how to, you know, do things and stuff like that because of his disability. She actually gets paid for that. But, I know her other job, though, that's getting tight. She works for a logistics company and she does the data entry. So, I actually always thought that at some point her job could go away because when she started, she'd had to go in and pick up a stack of paper to do the data entry in, and she had to do that every day. But then they started scanning it. Now all she does is she'll bring up the image on one screen and then do the data entry off that. And a lot of times it's not even she'll hit the number in and basically as much data as it could get off the scan is already inputted there. And she just has to verify it and move on, you know? Her department does freight. That one's probably going to feel the grip a little bit more than, the other department does utilities. Utilities probably aren't going to drop off as much. But the freight, I can see that happening.
Dun, dun, dun.
But generally, things have been okay. I mean, it's, you know, work continues, you know, we've been handling it. It's different now. There's a lot more stress, I think, now from personal life than there is from work life. Although there's some of that too, but it's like when's it gonna end? That's just kind of how you feel right now, and you miss things that used to take for granted, like going to church and stuff like that.
I was. Everybody's going
to be excited to go back to work.
I was just so happy to get a thing of salt the other day. I was like, "Oh my goodness, thank you!" I was getting low on
or salt. Toilet paper or something. You know, what I mean, the basics. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Rich?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Flying in from the Southern Command, huh?
Still employed?
Indeed, I am.
In Orlando now, right?
Just got done mini PCing?
No mini PC tonight. I was on the Hank Strange podcast for all of you Second Amendment together. With my buddy Larry Sharp, who's a libertarian, and he ran for governor in 2018. So he was a guest, so I was on. It was a really good show. But yeah, I have been playing around with Docker because I have a, you know, contract that might do some Docker stuff.
We've been doing Docker. That's fun stuff.
Making your own
images? Yeah, I'm finally understanding it a bit better. So I had a Docker cluster spun up, you know, multiple instances with load balancing, and I was trying to do the same thing on a Raspberry Pi and had some success with it, not 100% success, but it's interesting.
What was your Docker cluster? What kind of Docker cluster?
Well, you know me, I do cold fusion, so it's Tomcat Lucy, and it was Nginx load balancer on the front end, and that's what I was doing on an Intel box. I did get Lucy and loaded on top of Tomcat, you know, so basically I pulled down for the Raspberry Pi a Tomcat container, and I got Lucy into it and running. So that's, you know, the couple of learning hurdles, you know, it makes much more sense to me now. I've had kind of the Docker breakthrough. One of the things I was looking at was clustering and cross-node clustering. In other words, you have multiple hosts and clustering across multiple hosts with, I forget what kind of networking, overlay network to do that. So that's, I haven't gotten there yet, but that's one of the things I'm going to be playing with.
Were you just doing pure Docker, or were you using, like, Graybeard was wondering what were you using for orchestration?
Oh, yeah, just pure Docker.
Pure Docker, okay.
On the Pi 4?
Well, both on the Pi 4 and on an Intel Nook.
What, were you building your own images from scratch, or were you using, where were you getting your images from?
So, I like I said, I all right, so the for the Intel, I just pulled down a pre-made cluster. So it was a pre-made Lucy cluster, three-node Lucy cluster, which was pretty cool. You know, so it's Tomcat and Lucy running together. And on the Pi, I had to pull down an ARM Tomcat and inject Lucy, the WAR, into it. And that's how I was doing it on the Pi.
So was that... was that like off of just somebody's GitHub page, or was that from Docker Hub, or?
So, Intel was from Docker Hub, and let's see. And yeah, so on Docker Hub, I selected ARM, and it's actually ARM 7/32-bit with the version Raspbian I was running, which I was kind of disappointed. I thought it'd be 64. So I figured out it was 32-bit, and that's what I need to make it run. And so, yeah, I pulled the Tomcat off Docker Hub for the Pi. And then, you know, Lucy, since it's a WAR. Oops. Sorry, microphone or earbud fell out along with microphone. So Lucy, since it's a WAR, just drops into Tomcat and doesn't care what architecture it's on. And it'll just run.
And you're not using Docker Swarm, are you?
No, I haven't. You know, I haven't used Swarm yet. No.
Okay. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? It's just, it's really interesting. You can pull all that together. Not like it used to be.
Now that I know, I understand how to copy something into Docker. You know, the Docker CP command. I know how to edit files in Docker, and I know how to, you know, change configs in Docker. So those were the big things. Or then you, in your Docker file, if you want to inject a config, you can do that. So all of this stuff now makes sense to me. And then the ability to go in, you know, you do the exec and you get bash in Docker, that ability to go in there and, you know, modify things or, you know, read things. Because the other problem is with Docker is some stuff stays on a reboot and some stuff doesn't. So stuff in your WAR, those changes will be there for the next reboot. If you put VI or Nano or Pico into Docker using an apt-get command, that isn't there the next reboot, which is a pain in the ass.
You just use Docker build to build your own container based off the other container, and that stuff will be permanent.
Yeah, I guess I'm not there yet.
Yeah, it's just, most things aren't persistent. Once the container is gone, it's anything you've done to it is gone. But you say you use a WAR file. Is that so? When the container starts up, does it pull in that WAR file, and then anything that gets written in that WAR file is saved out to the file, which is not actually in the container? Then, right?
I guess. Yeah, I gotta. You're right. I gotta verify that by like a complete shutdown and make sure that the stuff is persisting that I did in the WAR file.
Because like typically
it survived a shutdown and a restart of the Docker container.
Because typically a container won't persist anything once it's shut down. It's gone, right. And then you bring it back up again.
Yeah. If the WAR was part of the container, it would probably just automatically deploy when Tomcat starts up. You know, Typically, things like logs are not going to be stored in a WAR file, but other things would be, that would be elsewhere.
So, Dan, you've done a lot of work with this, right?
I've done a fair amount of work.
So, if you're going to deploy code changes, say you have a Docker cluster and you deploy code changes, do you just deploy a complete new cluster of Docker?
So we have Kubernetes, which manages our containers. So whenever we have an update, yeah, we build a new container and push that new container out and replace the old one with the new one. We don't, containers just, is that the answer you're looking for?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, typically speaking, when we have a large microarchitecture, and when we go deploy new applications, it's either where we've kind of updated a bunch of different ones, and then we have a release candidate script that when we execute that, it's going to deploy all those application container versions out there, replacing what exists. So it fires up that new container, and when it's successful, that is successfully deployed, it terminates the old container, and that's how it works.
Okay,
in a nutshell,
sense.
There's a little complexity behind it. But
so then you do some sort of routing where you switch over to the new container?
So there's persistent, there's some persistence in the load balancing IP addresses, and we also use console and different things like that to provide persistence, so that when you're looking at networking and things like that, all we're doing is replacing the containers. The addresses associated with them are static. We have it configured. So it depends on like the technology, like the Kubernetes technology that we're using, the GKE. There is a service that's applied at a higher level that gives you an IP address on the load balance part. So we have, depends on the application again, right? So if it's like an API or something that has a web browser in front of it and it's network connectivity, then it needs an IP address that's fairly static, and that's, it's going to be applied to that load balancer service. So that's done on the Kubernetes side of things. So if we were to terminate that application, delete it completely and purge it, it would lose its IP address unless we didn't have it configured for persistence on that IP address on some of our things. So we did lose that, and then you have to scramble to change the IP address. But typically speaking, when you're just doing an update, Kubernetes handles all of that it replaces the old application container with the new one, and you retain that IP address, so you don't lose the networking aspect of it.
Now, but how do you handle load balancing? Is that software, or is that within, Docker or Kubernetes?
Google's Kubernetes, which we're using right now, GKE, Google Cloud Kubernetes, handles a lot of that load balancing aspect of things. That's done at that level, so we don't have to really implement that in our application configuration in containers.
So are you doing any of this on-prem, or everything's in, a cloud somewhere?
This is all in Google Cloud right now. Like pretty much everything on our stack, on our suite for the authoring platform that I work with, is all in GKE. Except for Solr, RabbitMQ, and Couchbase. Those are on virtualized instances in Google Cloud. And then they have a whole bunch of other things, like we have Apigee that managed, it's like our API, so that sits in front of all this, and then Fastly, which is the CDN, that sits in front of Apigee and all this other stuff. So there's all that technology in there too.
If you were going to load balance on, in, you know, on prem, how would you do it? What would you think would be the best way?
Well, what we use on prem, well, typically what we've used in on prem and also in our virtualized instances that weren't like in a clustering technology like GKE, and even when we did for a little bit in GKE, we used HAProxy for load balancing.
Mm-hmm.
So we
no F5s, no big IP.
No, we didn't really need to go that level. Now there were on our on-prem, and I forget what it was, but there were like the high-end load balancers that when we had in our own data centers and stuff like that. That they would configure and have a tool, a management tool for that kind of thing, and all that firewalling and load balancing and everything was handled by that. I can't remember what it was called. I want to say it was a Cisco-based product, but I don't remember. It's NetBalancer?
No, you know, it's funny. I don't know what the Cisco-based product is.
I can't remember what it is. But, yeah, so just like Greybeard's saying, like, we have HA. So it depends on, like, what we're talking about here. With our clustering technology, like Solr has a load balancer. RabbitMQ has a load balancer. We've used HAProxy for those. But on our applications, our node-based applications make use of Nginx. And then there's a load balancer in front of that, too. So load balancer backend is Nginx, which then proxies to the application, the node application. If that answers your question.
Yeah, I'm guessing. So the question is, if you're going to take legacy equipment and give it HA and load balancing, you wouldn't be looking to do it in hardware?
Probably not. I mean, if you're going cloud, I guess if you have it, There's so many different things that you could do. I believe like each of the cloud services have a load balancer that you can use, or you can spin your own with using HAProxy or whatever. And a lot of them are probably just repackaging HAProxy or something similar to that, unless you're getting to a higher tier. They might have their own customized things. I know, like I said, GKE, I forget what the, I can't remember now what the load balancer is called in GKE. But Kubernetes has its own load balancing stuff in it. So it depends on what technology you're going to go with. You know, it would clustering technology or virtualization technology, if you're going that route, that in most cases you could probably do HAProxy, but they might also have something for you to use already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just curious about that because you know, I haven't dealt with load, you know, back when I've dealt with load balancing, it was, you know, F5 or big IP. Those were the choices pretty much.
That's it. F5. They had F5 on on-prem. F5 load balancing.
And now that, you know, you can do it virtually so many ways, and hopefully everybody understands, I said virtually meaning virtualized networking so many different ways. You know, whether it's if you go the VMware stack and you use NSX, you can do just Docker has it built in. There's so many different things that are out there, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's hard to say what to use because if you're choosing, like, if you're going down the route of something like VMware or Kubernetes or whatever, they have load balancers available for you to use that you don't really have to get worry about rolling your own or going with a hardware one, just like you're saying.
And I hate to say, so a lot of this, I hate to sound more Luddite or curmudgeon on this. All the whole Docker thing is new to me, and I think I'm finally getting a good, better grip on it, a better understanding of how it all works. And I guess there's always that part of me that you're used to the older technology that you've been doing for n number of years, and this newfangled crap makes you feel like, you know, you're ancient. I mean, how hard was it to pick up?
It makes you feel like you're out of a job in some ways, doesn't it? Like, well, all the stuff that you used to have to do, and now, like, they've taken a lot of it out of your hands.
Holy crap, yeah. You know, here's one of the things that I find very interesting, is back in, you know, 1983 when I graduated high school and went to college, We're doing everything on like an IBM green screen. You know, you had some sort of IBM mini at the school. Or even, you know, a Windows computer was just a command prompt. Then we got stuff like Visual Basic and, you know, Visual C++. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then there were all sorts of other visual, you know, visual ways to code that you drag and drop things. Boy, why can't I remember? What was the Macromedia product that was based on Flash, which is now dead? Which was supposed to be.
Not Shockwave.
Not Shockwave. There was a programming language. And
I know what you're talking about, and now I can't remember.
And what the coolest thing was, it tackled the hardest part. Like, you could sit with a client, you'd say, you want an app that looks, and you could drag and drop all of the controls onto it, and you could run the UI in front of the client at that moment. I can't. It was like MXML. That's the only thing I'm remembering from it. But, and they had Caregorm, some framework that worked with. And that was the total, you know, thing. I don't want to say, you know, the four-letter word. And boom, that's gone. And I'm like, oh, I really need to learn this. I really, you know, when I was doing Cold Fusion, I'm like, oh, I really need to learn this. This is the thing.
Action
this is a killer.
Script?
Yeah, it was ActionScript was part of it.
Right.
But it was I don't know if it was an Adobe product Macromedia product.
Well, Adobe bought Macromedia.
Right. I'm trying to remember when the product was, but anyhow. So, long story to get to, I started programming computers, and it was, you know, the dumb green screen. Then you had Visual Basic, and then something better than that where you just dragged and dropped crap and it would just wire the UI and make it run almost immediately. Now we're doing Nginx, which is all stupid command line crap. I'm like, really? Really?
Yep, really.
I'm just a little shocked at how we've reverted back to all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is if you have that experience, and when you get into like building containers yourself and stuff like that, you're going to be like, I could do all this because I've done it all before. It's just not in a container, but I've done it. I know, like, if I'm going to get tripped up in something, I know how to fix it because I've done it with Linux systems before so much that it's interesting how you're right. It comes back around in different ways.
Yep.
But at the same time, you're not like you could just deploy systems willy-nilly here without having to worry about a whole lot of the other intricacies of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
so I think Docker is very cool on the mini PC scale, you know, like a 4 gig Raspberry Pi or, you know, other 4 gig Pi similar devices. because you have a minimum footprint, whereas a VM.
What happened?
Wow, what's that?
I don't know what that was.
Sounds like
I
somebody's taking
me.
A leak.
So, on a VM where you're virtualizing the entire operating system, so you have a stink load of overhead. Yeah, whoever's in the toilet, your mic's on.
There you go.
So, it, you know, Docker is very cool that way. And maybe I need to pay some more attention to Kubernetes, and that'll get me the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like, yeah, I'd love to, if we could make some of the things that we're working on for us better with that. But it's like, you know, our technology is not designed to take advantage of it, you know. It's designed with old school technology, so it's rough to bring it into the cloud infrastructure.
Now, so earlier today, I was, you know, I went to bed. I was just tired. I don't know about you guys, and I hope I'm not coming down with COVID.
Stress
but I've
levels.
Had a, I don't have any stress. Yeah, my family has stress. I don't have any stress. Because are you kidding me? This is like a vacation for me. Not having to be in Orlando, not having to be, and I don't want to trash where I stay in Orlando. And I don't want to sound like a bragger either. I do have a nice house. I like being here. It's also nice to be able to do things after work on my house. You know, the honey-do list. That's a big deal, and I feel for people who. You know, if you're in the restaurant business or whatever, or worse, if you've lost your job, you know, like, so we're making a point of, you know, going to a mom and a pop restaurant and, you know, taking out whenever we can. So, which I'm not like every night, we're talking like once, twice a week. That's
right.
More, so we're doing double what we normally would do. Let's put it that, or more than double than what we normally would do.
Well, like I mentioned, when I get the stimulus money, then I'm probably going to try and...
You're not getting any stimulus money.
Yes, yes. There's a calculator. Go figure it out.
Dude, based on the money you're spending on stuff, you've got to earn more than what you're eligible for, more than the cutoff of eligibility for stimulus.
Nope. Several of the news... folks that did the cutout the calculator if I plugged in what I'm just what I make not now my wife don't make she makes some but not that much, you know. So I don't know
if I'm gonna rub you the wrong way, but if somebody like me or my wife or and I don't know your complete situation, but if you haven't been financially impacted by this, you shouldn't be getting any money. That's wrong.
I agree. I don't really, you know, I don't really want it, to be honest, but it's their rules.
Yeah, because, of course, there's all the memes going across Instagram and, you know, my circle of friends, which are all gun guys, and it's like, you know, everybody's buying, you know, posting memes about buying guns with their stimulus check. So there's a couple of other problems with the stimulus. And first off, I don't have a problem. I don't like handing out money because it gets everybody used to the concept of universal basic income. But I do want the mom and pop pizza shop or whatever not to go bankrupt, not to lose their shirt. I want these people to keep their
Absolutely.
House, to keep their business. Serious, if I get stimulus money, I'm going to spend it all on, you know, eating out or whatever, patronizing mom and pop type businesses.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, that's why, as you say, either something like that or something from a U.S.-based company.
Right. And that's another big thing. One of the things, politically, there's a couple of political wedge issues that always run. And one of them was getting meds from Canada. And I'm like, wait a second. So you're telling me Pfizer makes this thing in the United States and Pfizer makes it in Canada, but if I get it from an online pharmacy in Canada for 10% of the cost in the United States, it's wrong? I can't trust Canadian meds? But meanwhile, Pfizer's getting all of the chemicals from China? It's like, what?
From China?
China. So
I just put the calculator from the Washington Post in the mumble. I'm going to put it on the IRC because I never logged in yet, but here I'll do it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause, I hope people are doing well and everything's good with people. Like I said, as far as not having to drive to Orlando and, you know, Pebbles is missing out driving in the car. He enjoys that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it really is a big plus for my life. Although I haven't been able to find any toilet paper or decent paper towel.
Try Sam's Club first thing in the morning.
Dude, get a bidet, man. Get a bidet. You don't need to worry about toilet paper.
If you can order one, but yeah, I plugged in higher than what I thought, and it says I should be getting a $2,400 payment.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Go plug it in there, man.
I mean, are you telling me if you make it over $100,000 a year, yep. I mean, combined, we're going to be double that?
Yep.
That, no, there's a cap. There's wrong. A cap. There's a cap. It depends.
There's
on
a how. Cap. If you the higher you go, the less you get.
Oh, okay. All right. And then there's, if it's graduated.
Yeah, and then there's dependents too. Like if you have dependents under the age of 18.
17, I think.
Skylar just turned 18.
Yeah, and. Is it based on your last year's taxes?
2019. I think
it's based on this year's taxes. Like, you have to file. I don't know.
If
that's,
you filed
that's
already.
That's kind of up in the air. They're like, you should file your taxes this year and it'll get you faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, we had to file and make sure that Paige was not at all listed as dependent on us so that she would get it. Because she's not working right now, so she absolutely needs it.
Yeah, I've put in my salary. Now, granted, it's from the adjusted gross income, so it's going to be after tax. So, but my salary is 120. I don't know what hers is, but if I ballparked it and added a 30 or 40, which it might not be that, but if at 150, I supposedly get 2,400. If you raise it up by 25,000 from there, then you're looking at like just around 1,000. But like I said, I don't care even if that's what I get, 2,400. I'd almost rather have the option to reject it.
Mathematically, here's the problem, is first off, of the stimulus bill, 10% is going out as these checks. The other 90%
right.
is going for crony capitalism, special interests, and lobbyists. The second problem on this is that basically you're going to be paying back $6,000 for that $1,200 you got. And that, you know, we're just printing bogus currency. We're printing clown money. Monopoly money is going to be more valuable than the U.S. dollar soon.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel is the bigger threat. First off, you know, people that are not working, laid off on reduced income, these people need to get back to work. Somebody like me that can work from home, you know, And I'm not saying this, I feel for these people. I really, absolutely, because, look, I didn't work for about 3 years, so I know what it's like not to work and be terrified of when the bills come. And I'm still recovering from that. So, it's a big freaking deal. We've got to get this economy, we got to get, you know, other countries haven't done this kind of lockdown system. And I don't think I think we have to stay the course that we're on right now because there's no alternative at this moment. If we did more things earlier, we would have been able to get past this, but we didn't.
One thing I don't like, South Korea has been one of the countries that handled this the best, but they're doing it in a really, really disturbing way that I think most Americans would not appreciate.
Oh, tell me about it, because I have no idea.
But that's the thing, man. You have a choice. Mass
right.
death.
We have a choice there, yeah.
Mass death or mitigation. And you're right. It's complete surveillance and tracking.
Yep.
But the alternative is a hell of a lot more dead people. So what do you want to do?
I think it's what, track and trace, if I remember right, or...
Right, like, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Pat, you remember what that's called? Actually, Pat's not on. Dang, okay.
Pat's gone.
Yep.
Yeah, that... I hate to say it, I really haven't been listening to the news. I mean, I used to only listen to
probably not
16
a bad
hours
thing.
Of news a day, and I'm...
Fired it up, and then come back next week and tell us how your stress level is.
Well, and look, my stress level is whatever it is, and it's really, I'm just going to be more annoyed. It has nothing to do with actual stress. The problem we're having, so the United States, I'd have to check my numbers, but that we're the best in the world as far as our debt goes, our debt to GDP, but it doesn't mean if you suck and just sucking less is a good thing. There's a lot of problems financially that we're going to have to come to reckon with, and they just keep kicking the can down the road. And that's why I'm for being, you know, financially responsible and, you know, not running a deficit and paying down the debt.
But, you know, at least some of the good things that are coming out is they are coming up with treatments, and I think the FDA is committed to fast tracking as much as, you know, whatever they have to fast track. Some of the things they don't have to fast track, like chloroquine that they've been using and azithromycin, those are already FDA approved drugs. They just have to use them off label. I think I saw a thing where there was a vaccine being developed in Israel and a couple other places too. You know, this is a time where they need to look at the FDA and say, okay, you have to improve how fast you approve drugs.
You can't fast track this stuff because you end up with a vaccine that kills more people than the disease.
Correct.
And crackpot treatments like chloroquine have not proven to be effective at all.
Really?
Read the research, man. Look at it. You know, they're trying to pump this in there and say it, but there's no evidence that it's effective at all. I mean, it's going to take a long time. And that's what stinks about this.
Well, I hope that either of us aren't 100% correct. Because
I wish I wasn't 100% correct, but I see there's one of two ways that we're getting through this, right? We're getting through this by this social distancing and changing our complete society. Forget it. I don't think that's going to work. What we're going to end up doing is and this is the sad part, and I hate it, and I hate to think like this. We have to accept the fact that this is going to kill a shit ton of people. Because this is what this is, man. We can't get people to social distance themselves properly. It's just going to keep coming back until you get to that point where enough people have either been infected and lived through it or have died. Because realistically, if you listen to the experts, a vaccine is 18 months off if we're lucky.
Well, infected and lived through it, I don't know if that necessarily works. And sorry about my mic earlier. I guess it had randomly switched to the one inside my laptop instead of my
That's okay.
Stick mic.
It happens to all of us.
You have people getting reinfected in China. I don't know if that's because of the two different strains of the virus or what. But you can't really expect people to gain an immunity if people are getting reinfected.
That's well, a whole other issue right there. I mean,
and while we don't know how much of what came out of China was actually true either, because their numbers probably could have been massively fudged in the wrong direction too. But there's been multiple directions on it, and while we do have to be concerned about whether whatever kind of treatment or vaccine is developed, whether it will kill people or not, we can't afford to sit there and have, you know, whoever is developing it has to figure out, well, can you make enough quick enough, that's one thing. But can it go through the approval process? You know, we have to look at the approval process and rip out things that aren't going to compromise things that could increase the time, you know, and it's going to be a difficult thing to do, but they have to do that. You know, we can't be as picky as we normally would be in this case, you know, cause it's going to be too late.
Well, I would say stay home. Just stay home right
as much as you can, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go out to do certain things, but, you know, because there's just no getting around it, you know. In the pre-show, we were talking about how difficult it is to get, like, curbside pickup or Amazon Prime Now or any kind of grocery delivery. Instacart seems to be snapping back, and I can get that within, well, I haven't looked again yet today, but within 5 hours. But like Clickless with Kroger, no, you're better off getting in the car going to Kroger. But that's why I was getting to the point where I want to skip going to Sam's Club, but one of the reasons I have not have backed off of that is because they have the Scan and Go app, so... Okay.
Oh, I guess we gotta wrap this up. So we're getting close to time. Stay safe. Boom, boom. Where'd Flying Rich go? Flying Rich.
I'm here.
Docker yourself like crazy, man. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm having a good time with it. Maybe I'll reach out to you with some questions.
Yeah. All right. Anybody, were you appearing this week, Joe?
Oh, this week. Practically. Well, here. I'll be here this week.
Oh,
last week I was on Big Daddy Linux. I was on
Big Daddy Linux. What is that? I never heard of that.
You've never heard of BDL? They do reviews. They've got a European show and a U.S. show. I was on the U.S. show. Let's see. I was also on the Linux Lugcast. Midcast was recorded this last weekend.
Man, you're burning yourself around. That's good.
Where are you going to be, Joel?
At work.
Here.
I got invited to be on Electric City Nerds tonight, but I decided to hang out with y'all instead.
Oh, what's Electric City Nerds?
Just a, you know, nerd show with one of my fellow co-hosts from the MGCast.
Electric City? Talk about
comics and Star Trek and everything else.
Wait, what was that called again?
Electric City Nerds.
Electric City Nerds. Oh, there we go. You talk about comics? Do you read comics?
Not as much as I used to. I mean, recently, you know, being stuck at home, I had some trade paperbacks sitting around, so went through some Deadpool.
You know what? I don't know if you heard, but Marvel is releasing a bunch of their electronic stuff for free off the Marvel Unlimited app, so you could, like, install that and read a bunch of their comics for free.
No, I hadn't heard that. I know DC Streaming has most of their back catalog. If you're paying for DC Streaming, you can get all of that.
You have DC Streaming, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you might have. But yeah, if you just grab the Marvel Unlimited app, you could read their. They just released a whole bunch of them for free. Some of the more popular stuff, and I think it's older and new stuff too. So if you're interested in reading some comics, you can get them that way.
Yeah, I will definitely have to check it out. All right. Know I have. I have the trade paperback of all of Spider-Man 2099,
okay.
And I think I have the full run also. The digital versions, and then I know I have my wife has Batman the Dark Knight, and I'm probably going to read that too. So
the Frank Miller one,
the one where he faces off with Superman.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
I know which one. Yes. That old, what was that, mid-80s, wasn't that?
I'm not sure.
Late 80s, that run? Yeah, that was good. That was good. The sequel to it wasn't as good, but that one was good. And that's a good read. You'll like that.
I watched the movie they made on, or the two movies that they made on it, so that was pretty good.
The comic book's a lot better. Hey, you're going to like that. It's good. All right, I'm gonna play us out. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe. We'll see you in 1 week. Have a happy. Here are your promos.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the listeners from the Mintcast sent me an email wanting me to ask you how much it would cost if he put together a promo for his YouTube channel for you to air it. And I'm like, I don't think he charges for the promos.
It would cost the bandwidth to send it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to me. I will gladly play it.
All right, I'll let him know.
We don't make money around here. Joe, like, we spend the money.
It's like he's never charged for the one he does for the Linux Lugcast.
Mm-hmm. Or anybody else. Even has... I didn't hear. Did you play the one with 5152?
I don't have any other one.
I know you don't, but...
I know Honky's been talking about making another one for a while.
Yeah.
I've just never really gotten around to it.
Oh, man. I'm beat. Joel, do you find yourself wiped out?
Yes.
Tired all the time. And then when it's time to sleep, I can't freaking sleep.
Ugh. Yep. It's like I drank a energy drink at what? I'm trying to remember when I headed over to look for my hair clippers. Because I know by the end of this, Dan will be full-on Amish, but no, I can't do that. I feel like
and I've gotten so pale.
That hasn't changed. I feel like driving up north to go visit my, which I won't do, but to go visit my niece. My niece is a... Well, I don't know how trained she was, but I know at some point she was cutting hair for a living. So it's like, you'd be like, yeah, well, you can cut your hair. You can wear a mask. I don't care. You know. But, it's little things like that. The hair bothers me more than it should, you know, because really it's not that long now. You know, I've gone longer. But it's like, I can't stand it when it gets to be a certain length, you know?
I've had my hair halfway down my back before. It doesn't mean I want to do it again.
Oh, I know. I know. It's funny. I saw one of the guys that goes to our church, his daughter works over at the Target. And that's one of the very few people I saw over there was her. She was stocking some shelves. And we stood there and talked for a minute, and I said, I can't be like, her dad is bald. He's balding, and he just shaves his head. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do what your dad does. Because I was asking her if they had anything, if she knew of anything. But you talk about ordering from local places. I've been trying to do that more. The hard part is my wife really likes freaking Popeyes and McDonald's and crappy crap like that, you know. I'd rather order from way down yonder. That's the only way that they're making money is the food deliveries now. You know, or pickups, right? Well, there's a guy by the name of Cameron Mitchell who ran more upscale ones. he closed all of his restaurants and furloughed 4,500 workers. But food trucks are doing all right. There's a food truck by the name of Pete Abilities, and they have actually been driving around neighborhoods almost, but not quite, like the ice cream truck. And I think there's actually a way that you can actually request them.
Yeah, they should just switch over to doing delivery.
But I check now. I talked to my nephew works for Walmart. I think he's on third shift stock. I think he is. I'm not sure. My niece also worked for Walmart at one point, and my other niece works for Burger King, and I know they're all still working. My dad's still working. That worries me more than any of them working, because he's in his 70s. And but I didn't really talk about it on the show, but I did 3D print some masks. I haven't actually used them yet, just haven't yet. You know, I'm just really careful and cognizant when I go in the store. I don't do things like I normally would. I try to get in and get out as fast as possible. Today was one of those pointless exercises, me trying to find a hair clippers. But now the worst part is basically at this point in the day, even any of the stores that normally would be open aren't. That's the one thing I yet to quite understand. I understand limiting how many are in a store, but limiting the hours.
Limit the hours in order to give the staff time to clean the place up.
I think it has more to do with stocking it than anything, because trust me, my store ain't any cleaner than usual. Although I will say this, I visited the bathroom at the local Walmart. And that bathroom is
sales.
Right.
You also need to limit hours.
But that bathroom, though, that I went to at the Walmart, never smelled that good. So certain things they're doing better than they usually are, but the rest of it I don't really notice. You know? But I'm one of the few that I'm in the camp that thinks that it's actually been here a lot longer than we really realize. Because I have had back in November/December timeframe, my pastor actually, he got sick enough that he did have to go to the hospital. And they never did figure out what it was when he was there. This is probably before they even had any testing or anything like that, or before China even said much about it. So I think it's been here for a little while already myself. But seeing is America is strong, and I think we can recover from this, but it's just how soon and how quick.
Well, eventually, all countries will recover from this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, how freaking long? How bad is it going to be? I really don't like to not have it be that bad, but...
There's some companies, though, that are going to be permanently damaged by this. Like, I'm betting AMC doesn't make it.
Dun dun dun. When was the last time you actually left the house? Like, left your property / neighborhood or whatever?
I went out on Monday. I had to drop something off at FedEx. And went to Walgreens right afterwards. But, like 2 weeks before that. The last time before that.
Yeah, I haven't been outside of since 2 weeks, since two not last not last week, but the week before Tuesday, 2 weeks ago. What's up, Pat?
How you doing?
All right. What am I doing here? Oh, nope. I don't want that.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah. Where's Joe? Where's Joel? Where's Rich?
Of course.
They're all at church.
Church.
There's not much of church going on either.
Well, I certainly know Rich is not at church.
He went with Joel.
Well, that's good.
I'll be right back.
And there's a lot of people that want to produce videos for my website. This is, isn't this the month of Ubuntu being released?
Yeah. Well, I know the beta's out, but I don't know if they've done an actual release.
Let's see what their blog says. No. Says we were going to release, but then Joe wasn't happy with what the beta was. And now they're pushing it back to next year, they said.
They should. They should definitely listen to Joe. He's a smart guy.
That's what I hear. That's what Rich tells me. He sends me emails. Yeah. He says, can you give me Joe's email and phone number? Because he's a smart guy. And I'm like...
Well, he sent me emails asking silly questions.
How do you remove a file from a file system?
Something like that.
Let's see.
I gave him the RMRF method.
There you go. RMRF. Pseudo RMRF slash, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Slash star.
I impressed a lot of people yesterday with my capability of going in and deleting a file off of a read-only file system. They're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, you don't want to know. I don't want to tell you because I don't want to lose the capability. Alright, what are we doing? Let's see here. 8:52. Oh, well, Andro users listening, and they said the release date is the 24th, 2004. Wait a second. No, I don't want that. Oh, I guess Andrew user is probably listening via the IceCast server. That's cool. That's great. We got three people listening on the IceCast. Since I fixed the website that has the right address now, so that's a good thing. Plus. Was that you, Pat?
That was. Can you hear me? Am I not loud enough?
You're a little softer this week.
Like you're far away from the mic.
How about now? Any better?
A little better.
How about now?
No,
still
I can...
really far away from the mic.
Okay, hold on.
I can hear you though.
Maybe it randomly switched to the onboard mic instead of whatever mic you normally use.
Well, I switched to a different headset.
So what Uber Eats delivered to Joel tonight?
Taco Bell.
You think
Taco
so?
Taco Bell.
You think
yeah,
Taco
I
Bell?
Agree.
Fucking chalupas and fucking, what's that triple chalupa thing?
Wait a second.
Five-layer burrito.
Oh, yeah.
Not the seven-layer?
Burrito cream.
He didn't want the extra two layers?
There he is.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
I had to fix a disco light in my kitchen.
Next to the Taco Bell?
No, my... actually, I did have that for dinner. but, no, I got smart light bulbs in the kitchen light fixture, and Luke hit the switch, and, of course, one of them lost their marbles, so I had to reconnect it. But...
Wait, if you turn off the light switch, it screws up the lights?
Yes and no. It doesn't screw up the lights, but it just makes it lose connect. Some there's like one or two that'll lose connection with the Wi-Fi because they're Wi-Fi ones, and I don't know why for sure, but oh well. And I went and I found the next thing after toilet paper that is gone. Well, it's probably not the only thing. Actually,
paper towel
two things.
And wipes?
No, haircut, hair clippers. I went to look for hair clippers because it's about time for my hair to get cut. And of course, you can't get it cut.
Not rocking the Fovey cut anymore?
No. But it's, the only thing I found was beard trimmers, and that's not going to work. I mean, it would work, but it'd just be really damn short, and I'd probably burn it out through one cut. Yeah, I looked at Target and two Walmarts. Social distancing, baby.
Did they have, tape on the floor and employee telling people...
Target was like a literal ghost town, man. Because my Target has groceries, so they're actually open. So, there was like nobody there. I mean, normally it's wall to wall people. There's nobody there, which I guess is not a horrible thing.
You can look
thing,
online.
But...
Sally sells clippers.
Yeah, that is my next option, and so I want to look at that. I did have a set. I just don't know where they're at. It is possible I might have got rid of them because in normal times, I switched back. I used to do it myself. But I switched back to going to a barber because my wife wouldn't cut the back of my head. even though it has a garden, she's afraid she's going to cut off too much. I'm like, you can't cut off too much.
Take the ears off.
Yeah, but in case. Did we actually start already?
No, we did not.
Okay.
We're waiting for you.
And then the next one is the Nintendo Switch. Not the light you can probably find, but the Nintendo Switch is completely sold out.
Yeah, all the gaming shit sold out.
A lot of the gaming consoles are sold out. A lot of the gaming stores, like gaming only stores, are done and they're closed. You know.
Not GameStop. They're essential.
GameStop's closed in Columbus. They closed like the week after we got Luke's Wii U.
They decided that they're not essential now.
The Ohio governor decided that. Governor DeWine. Which in Ohio, at 2 p.m. they call that DeWine and Amy, or no, wine with DeWine time. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mike DeWine and Amy Acton. So it's the whole thing is so weirdly popular that some guy did a animation set to a theme similar to Laverne and Shirley. But anywho, so to spelunk for my hair cutting utensils. So that I can get this mop cut, because I can't stand it once it gets over a certain length.
Just sharpen up that kitchen knife and Crocodile Dundee that thing.
I can do that with my knife. Link bought me a birthday present. He bought me a pocket knife.
Well, there you go. You sharpen that thing up.
It's sharp. It's real sharp. It's got a Tonto blade on it. It's actually kind of nice. It's like $15, I think, if I looked at the price. But... add it to my collection. I now have like 4 or 5 knives now. No weapons yet. That might come with when that stimulus check comes, Pat.
It's gonna be direct deposit if you file electronically.
Yep.
Hopefully
if I go by the calculator I found online, we should get a little bit over 2.
I will get nothing.
Why are you getting nothing?
Don't be surprised, man.
Isn't the cutoff making $75,000 a year?
No.
No.
The cutoff, I don't think there is a cutoff. It depends on...
You get less is what you get, apparently.
Oh. Okay. But that's like the maximum you could make and still get a stimulus. Was $75,000.
No, it's something like, actually, I think it goes up to, I thought it was $90,000, and then it's dual income. The next level is $150,000, and then after that,
it's your adjusted. It's not your gross; it's your adjusted.
Yes, something like that. Yeah. So it's with us, I ran us through the calculator. And I think, and I, even though I make well over $100,000 a year, I'm still getting some, which kind of surprised. I don't really care. They don't have to send me nothing. I don't really need it necessarily. There are others that need it more than I do. But
listen, I've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna tell no.
I'm not gonna turn it away with my own money.
No. Not gonna tell no. I might, well, yeah, depending on, you know, if I get the approval to go get a sidearm, but I might